Here's a case study, one of those what am I riddles. I am a wildebeest or African antelope, fairly commonplace, but I shot to stardom in the 1920s thanks to the crossword, an American invention which seized on one of my attributes. Not my beard or stooped neck, something else, according to social historian and word games enthusiast Juliet Gardner.
Three-letter words particularly difficult. There's a sort of limit on the number of three-letter words, and that's probably what popularised it. I'm not sure that most of us today would know. It must have been the compiler's dream.
Of course, my fame was much later sealed by a hit comic song, but my original entry into the language was courtesy of the crossword puzzle.
Partly because it's a three-letter word, and partly because, of course, how do you pronounce it? And so many words like that, of course, you don't pronounce the first letter, and that's so enriching. It's such a funny word. You were searching all the time for words that nobody knew.
What am I?
I'm a gnu. I'm a gnu. The nicest worker of nature in the zoo. I'm a gnu. How do you do? You really ought to know wahoo's wahoo.
I'm not sure that Flanders and Swan would have picked it up if gnu hadn't featured in crossword puzzles.
Were it not for my three-letteredness and the 1920s crossword boom, I would still be an anonymous blue wildebeest without a hit song to my name. Funny how fame works, but there. Does this story prove that English's thirst for new words and ever-swelling vocabulary mean English is the gamest of tongues? Don't ask me. I'm a gnu. But I'll stop being one now. Here is Guy Deutscher again. English, measured by the size of the Oxford English Dictionary, is bigger than most languages. So does that mean more to play with?
I don't think really that argument stands, because if you look at not the amount of words that officially exist through the history of a language, which is what the Oxford English Dictionary records, but the amount of words that an average speaker or even an educated speaker would recognize, not to mention use actively, this would be just a fraction of this huge number.
English does have a slightly greater level of homonymy than other European languages. Words with different meanings spelled the same or that sound the same. Very handy when it comes to wordplay.
If the degree of homonymy in the language was really the indicator for how playful it is, then we would have a language like Chinese being far above any European language that we can think of. And so the Chinese should have far superior humour to anyone else. But I think more importantly, you don't even need real homonymy. You don't really need two words that sound exactly the same in order to play on them. And puns and other word games quite often use words that sound similar. And words that sound similar but have different meanings exist in absolutely every language.
What about the sophistication with which we listen, the subtlety with which we interpret? Now to a game which can demonstrate this. Cheese or font? You have to guess whether a word refers to a typographical font or a lactobacillic cheese, just by the sound of it. We've assembled experts to play this. Indeed, this is really pro-celebrity cheese or font, because we have best-selling miscellanist Ben Schott, who typesets all his own books, and Sheila Dillon of Radio 4's food programme, who eats all her own cheese. The words are read by Harriet Cass.
Ben, Humboldt Fog.
sounds like an excuse for one of Sherlock Holmes's detectives to get away. I think that's probably a cheese, although Humboldt does sound fontish. I were going to go for cheese.
It's a cheese. You're
excellent.
Right.
That's a relief.
Sheila, Valscombe.
Valscombe.
Here are the keen-eared players. Look for the subtlest of signals in the game.
Valscombe. Cheese. These are very obscure.
I'd say cheese.
You're right. It's a cheese. It's a cheese. Now, I'm going to have to be careful how I say this. Sheila, Arshia.
Can you spell it?
A-R-S-H-I-A. Arshia.
I'd say it was a font, then.
I don't know. I haven't heard of it as a font. I'm going to say it's a cheese.
It's a font. And Sheila, finally, Dauphin.
Dauphin. I think that's a font.
I think it's a font.
You're both right and both wrong.
It's both.
It's a cheese and a font.
That rarest of phenomena, lactotypographical homonymy, or chont. But, sad to say, English probably isn't the subtlest of languages. In fact, according to Guy Deutscher, capacious, highly literate languages aren't any more subtle or complex than small oral ones. Sadly, then, we have to answer our first question in the negative. English is no more playful than any other language. Its size, proneness to accident, alleged sophistication, all fail the test.